Last month, we celebrate Christ's first coming while anticipating his return. And over the past 2 weeks, we have reflected on what changes in our lives when the King comes. So what should we do now? We should walk with the Lord. But what does that mean for us? Today, we see that many Christians continue living as they always have, following their own agenda and priorities, turning to him only when they need help. Others keep a comfortable distance from the Lord, not wanting him to intervene too much in their lives, as they prefer to pursue their own way of life. Of course, we won't see much of the changes in their lives that the King brings. This is not walking with the King. Our Lord, whom we have been waiting for, has come. Now, how are you walking with him? Do you see the changes in your life that the Lord brings? Or do you feel like you are still living the same life you had before? As the new year begins, we often set the new year's resolutions and make plans to live a more meaningful life. What resolutions have you made for this year? As Christians, reflecting on walking with the Lord and living it out is one of the most important things we need to do. Today's scripture passage is Galatians 5, verses 13 through 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. In Romans 7:15, Paul confesses, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. but what I hate, I do. These words resonate with the tensions we also feel every day. The inner conflict between our desire to live righteously and the pull of our sinful nature. This tension reminds us of spiritual reality of the battle between the flesh and the spirit. Why does this happen? The flesh means our fallen human nature, which is inclined to sin and self-centered desires. This nature originated from the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. After they sinned against God, we lived in darkness, governed by the desires of the flesh. These sinful desires led us away from God, leaving us spiritually lost. The acts of the flesh result in brokenness, separation from God, and ultimately death. On the other hand, the Spirit refers to the new life we receive when we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. God, in His great mercy, sent Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to save us from the darkness. Through His life, death, and resurrection, Christ made a new way for us to be reconciled to God. When we place our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, empowering us to live according to God's will. The Spirit enables us to overcome the flesh and walk in the righteousness, reflecting God's original design for us. So the tension between the flesh and the Spirit exists because we are already saved through faith in Jesus Christ, but the full experience of salvation will be completed when He returns. In today's scripture passages, Paul contrasts the flesh and the spirit. Because these two forces are fundamentally opposed to one another, we cannot live according to both in life. To follow one is to reject the other. If we choose to live according to the flesh, we will experience the consequences of sin, which is death. This is why Paul calls us to crucify the flesh with its passion and desires. But if we choose to walk by the Spirit, we will experience godly fruit. The struggle between the flesh and the spirit is ongoing. Even Paul felt the weight of this battle. But through Christ, we have hope. As we choose to walk in the Spirit, we experience freedom from the chains of the flesh. This doesn't mean the absence of temptation, but the presence of divine power to overcome it. So we need to walk with the Lord to continue our new journey in Christ. But what does that mean for us? When Jesus was on earth, His disciples experienced Him in the most tangible way. They heard His voice, saw Him with their eyes, and touched Him with their hands. He was the Word of life made manifest, living among them in close fellowship. They walked with the Lord and shared every moment of their lives with Him. Our God is the triune God. Today, through the Holy Spirit, the same life and fellowship proclaimed by the disciples are available to us. The Spirit brings Christ's presence into our lives, allowing us to experience His presence, guidance, truth, love, and care in a deep personal relationship with Him. In 1 John 1, as the disciples declare the joy of fellowship with the Father and the Son, we too are invited to this fellowship through the Spirit. Walking with Jesus means embracing this relationship, living in His presence, surrendering all of ourselves to Him, sharing in His life, and allowing Him to transform our hearts as we walk through life with Him. Now let's look at Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Listen carefully. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Then I tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. We often think that by doing things for the Lord, whether through ministry or acts of kindness, we are serving Him and fulfilling our purpose. But Jesus teaches that a genuine personal relationship with Him is the most important thing. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In this passage, he points the importance of a true relationship with God, where our actions are rooted knowing Him personally and intimately. It's not about what we do, but who we are in Him. If we don't truly love Him, we won't understand His will. And whatever we do will be based on our own will. In verse 23, Jesus also says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He values relationship over ritual or works. Even if we perform great deeds in His name, if our relationship with Him is not genuine and based on His will, you are missing the point. God desires an authentic relationship with us, not just religious duties carried out for our own self-validation. Christ values relationship above all. He desires to be with us and for us to know Him. This connection is not about what we can do for Him, but about how we walk with Him. True faith is not a checklist of actions, but a loving relationship where we listen to His voice, align ourselves with His will, and live in love He has shown us. The teachings of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount is not a long list of duties we must practice, but rather love that is expressed through our lives when we are in a right relationship with God and our neighbors. Let's look at Galatians 5, 13, 14 again. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Living out God's will starts with a right relationship with Him, where we love our neighbors, forgive, and live humbly. This way of life naturally flows from the love we experience in our relationship with God. When you begin with our relationship with Christ and experience His love, that love will overflow into our lives. And only then we can do His will. So Christ's priority is the heart behind action. A heart that seeks intimacy, love, and obedience to God's will. He calls us into a deeper, more meaningful relationship where our actions naturally flow out of our love for Him, rather than as an attempt to earn His favor or approval. Nothing is more important than knowing Christ personally and walking in the relationship with Him. This is what Christ desires from us. And this is what we are called to as we walk with Him through every moment of life. I believe most of you know the story of the rich young man in Matthew 19. Let's think about it for a moment. In every way, he would be seen as an ideal young man from a Jewish perspective due to his wealth and adherence to the commandment and the potential for influence in his community. He also had a strong desire for spiritual matters in his heart. The rich young man asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" If he was living with us today, he would be seen as a faithful Christian outwardly. He would continue to follow what the words of God teaches us and try to live a life that can positively influence others. He would be dedicated to regular prayer and Bible study. He would be actively involved in his church community, attending worship services every Sunday and participating in church leadership and ministries. He may donate generously to charitable causes. He would help those in need in his community and would be respected by many people. If the rich young man were to ask us the same question today, what must I do to inherit eternal life? You might want to tell him, you are already on the right path, for you have been living a faithful life. You might encourage him to continue his journey and stay committed as he has done. When he asked the question to Jesus, Jewish people might have expected that kind of response from Jesus. Jesus would affirm the rich young man's life and encourage him to continue on his path. But Jesus looked at him and said, "One thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." He walked away because he was unwilling to let go of what he had. Despite his desire to follow Jesus, He was not willing to choose Christ above his wealth and comfort. His possessions were his priority. And as a result, he missed the opportunity to walk with the Lord. Whatever occupies the center of your minds will shape your values and thoughts. It will determine your life. In short, you will stop surrendering your life to God with open hands and will gradually drift away from the Lord. This is why God invites us to serve him alone. But the question is, are we willing to let go of the things that we hold on to so tightly now? What are those things for you? Like the rich young man, you may find ourselves clinging to the comfort, desires, preference, and pursuit of this world in some area of your lives. The true walk with the Lord, we must make him the priority in every area of our lives. We need to fully submit all of ourselves into his hands. Our life, thoughts, desires, will, and actions. We also need to let go of personal control and place our full trust in God to live according to his will and purpose. We often want God to join us on our personal journey, helping us walk with the path we have chosen, supplying us with what we need, and offering help when we are in need. We desire to God walk alongside us, assisting in our plans and giving us the resources we think we need. But walking with the Lord, it's not for God to join us in our journey, but for us to join him in his mission. In Luke 5, Jesus was teaching a crowd and asked Simon Peter to let him use the boat as a platform. After teaching, he instructed Peter to put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Peter worked all night and caught nothing. After following his instructions and casting their nets one more time, they caught such a large number of fish that their boats nearly sank. But it is not that Jesus simply joined them to help them catch more fish as they wanted. Instead, he invited them to join him in his work. They joined Jesus in his mission, and they found fulfillment in life. Now their lives were aligned with God's will. This is the heart of walking with the King. It is not about asking God to join us on our journey, but about choosing to join him on his mission. Too often we focus on our own ambitions, desires, and plans. We pray for God to support us and bless our effort. But the truth is, the true path to fulfillment is found when we align our lives with God's will. When you walk with him, we begin to understand the true meaning of serving one another humbly in love. And the Spirit produces fruit in us, not by our strength, but by His power. As Galatians 5:22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Let's look at Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Since you live a new life in Christ, you should set your hearts and minds on things above, not on earthly things. In other words, God wants you to focus far more on the eternal things of God than the things of earth. When Paul talks about setting your hearts and minds on things above, he was also talking about the Lord who is there rather than heaven itself. He wants us to walk with Him as a new creation. As Christians, there's nothing more important than walking with the King who came to dwell among us. As we begin this year, I encourage you to set your hearts on things above, align your lives with His will. Then you will desire what God desires. You will seek deeper relationship with God and His people. You will follow the example of Jesus in your life. Let's ask God to help us to live with our hearts and mind fixed on our King. Lord, we thank You for sending our King to dwell among us. Lord, we ask that You deepen our relationship with You. Let our lives be rooted in love and guide us to serve one another humbly in love. As we begin this new year, fill us with Your Spirit, empowering us to live as new creations in Christ. May we walk faithfully with You, seeking Your will above all else. Let us surrender all of ourselves into Your hands, trusting You to lead us in Your mission and to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.